This is when you used to say the day of the week, but not anymore.
The last thing I want to be, Bill, is predictable. So I'll do it someday.
No,
someday I won't.
That's the way to play it.
Is it Wednesday?
Today? No, today's Tuesday.
No, good thing I didn't say it.
Tomorrow's Wednesday. It's Kevin. You know, Kevin, our producer, is leaving the show, Wendy.
I
tomorrow's
can't talk
the
about
last.
It.
Too emotional?
Kind of.
Yep. I feel the same way. We should have a big surprise party for him.
You know what I stumbled upon today?
Hmm.
This morning was, you know how you get those notifications 1 year ago today on Facebook?
Yeah.
1 year ago today, my mother posted the link of you guys talking about my wedding after you had attended it.
Yeah.
It was fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Go back and check that out.
Yeah. That was our gift to Kevin, was attending his wedding and then talking about it.
I actually gave him a gift, too.
Oh, were we supposed to get him something else?
Yes.
Kevin, I'm sorry.
Okay,
I thought that was enough of a gift.
It's okay. The gift that keeps on giving.
If I had to do it over again, I would have gotten you something else.
Like 20 bucks?
Yeah, my daily allowance would have gone to Kevin. Whatever you gave him, Wendy, I don't remember how much you gave him, but we gave him $4.
$1 million.
$4 more. We gave him $1,004,000.
I can't talk about it. I'm getting emotional.
Are you getting emotional?
I am.
It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe. Kevin, you've been our producer for 3 years?
Almost exactly. A little over at this point,
yeah,
I think.
Just over
How's
3 years.
How's it been? What have been the highlights, the lowlights?
You know, I've been thinking about that. Some of the cool guests and like different segments we've done have been awesome. Some
mm-hmm.
lowlights, I don't know.
There's too many to mention. I bet at some point Ken Burns comes to Kevin and says, I'm doing a documentary about our show.
Be doing it about him.
Oh, probably about him, yeah. Look, he'll come to us. Ken Burns will come to us and say, you worked with Kevin back when he was in radio. What was he like back then? And I'll say, he only had 9 tattoos then. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Will you still be booking guests for us?
Sure.
All right.
But my rate will increase.
I hope so. That's fine.
I think,
That's
honestly, fine. Some of my favorite moments are the ones that happen off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Between the breaks and all that.
Mm-hmm. My favorite thing is Kevin and I have played a game for a little over a year now. For people who are not in radio, one of the producer's many, many jobs is to let the people, I'm reticent to say talent, but the people who are on the show, they'll say stand by, as if to say we're about to go on air, so be ready. And whenever Kevin says to us that we should stand by, I say to him, no, I'm not going to stand by, you stand by.
Very feisty.
We fight about it.
That really never got old
in the last year.
Not once. My favorite was you stand by. No, you stand by as that goes back and forth.
Yeah,
I'm working with a couple of dinguses.
We do that right up until actual airtime. Sometimes within a tenth of a second.
Sometimes
we'll fight.
Throwing you off, it seems.
Right.
Doesn't take much.
Almost always throw you off.
I think you are thrown off quite a bit.
Thrown off when nothing throws me off.
I'm okay with that. We're both kind of like that.
But now will we have to train our new producer to do that, to fight with me over standing by? Because you can't teach that.
Oh, I think it'll grow naturally, trust me.
I hope so.
It wasn't like that the first couple of years.
No. No, it just became that. A hostile work environment for everybody. In other Kevin news, you know, Kevin James has this show, Kevin Can Wait.
I've been sucked into it, I have to tell you.
Here's what's strange. I think he is so funny, and anytime I see a clip of the show, it makes me laugh. Both his old show, King of Queens,
that was
and
better,
current show.
Because Stiller was on it, Jerry Stiller.
Yeah, he's very funny, isn't he? But for some reason, it's not appointment television. If for some reason I'm flipping around and it's on, I'll watch a few minutes of it, but I don't know why, because I always like it.
It was an appointment television for me.
Old show or new show?
New show, or old show I watched religiously, because that really was at a time before on demand. And
right.
If you'd either record it and watch it weekly, I had better discipline to watch television shows years ago.
Yeah.
I really did. And now it's like you can find everything everywhere that I don't work that hard to catch something.
Right.
And so, we were finished watching Big Brother and weren't ready to go to bed. So Jim's like, what do you want to watch? And I'm like, let's watch a little Kevin Can Wait.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of got sucked into it. So then now we're recording it. I haven't gotten to the way in which they got rid of his wife.
Well, can I throw a spoiler alert your way?
You can throw it, because, I mean, I'm not that invested. I could still watch it. I just have to say, he is so naturally funny. I know the show is scripted, but he's goofy as hell, and it comes very naturally for him to be funny. And the wife that they had on the new series, Kevin Can Wait,
yeah.
I know she's been on various shows before, and perhaps she's really funny and great, but next to him, it makes her look weak. Oh. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, but then why did they cast her? Because they probably had 1,000 actresses that auditioned for the part. Why did they go with her and then
maybe
decide?
She knew someone who was putting the series together. Maybe he's friends with her. Maybe they got her for a song. I don't know.
And on the show, the character's name is Donna. Donna's married to Kevin's character, right?
He's a retired cop.
Yeah.
And she, I think, is a nurse.
He's retired already? Because isn't he like 40?
I don't know. I mean,
I guess it's possible.
I think he's supposed to be older on the show.
Oh, is he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
She's a nurse, and the kids are okay. I mean, really, she was the weakest link. I hate to say that because she's probably really nice. But next to him, it didn't make her shine.
Yeah. Well, they decided last year, and I don't know the order by which this was decided, but they decided to bring back the woman who played his wife on King of Queens, Leah Remini. They had her on as a guest spot, and I don't know if they already had it in their heads that we're going to bring her back and make her the love interest, or if it just played out that way.
Well, I don't know. I'm a little behind, so I don't know if she's a love interest. They're former partners, and they're doing like he's retired, but he's brought back from retirement to nab some perps. So they're kind of undercover, and they're acting like a couple as they're trying to solve this case.
Oh.
And their chemistry is undeniably one of the best.
Yeah.
So, I mean, after seeing her guest appearance, although I love her to death, I really always have. I've watched her Scientology special. I love her. But I don't know what possessed her to get her lips plumped up so much. Bill, I am not kidding you. I was so excited to see her back on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't know how to use her new lips yet.
What does that mean?
It means when she's talking, it's kind of like it's a problem.
Oh.
And I mean, I love her, and I would love to have her on the show. I will, of course, not bring this
up. Don't bring this up if she's on.
I don't know if they could, you know, deflate them a little bit, but it's like, it honestly is like she doesn't know how to use them. I'm sorry. And I love her, and she's still funny as hell.
Sure she is.
She looks great.
Yeah.
I mean, the lips don't look necessarily bad, but she doesn't know how to talk with them.
Right. A second on the hips, forever on the lips, Wendy. That's what they say. Wait, they might say the opposite.
Yeah,
I'm not sure
know.
What they're saying. All right, well, evidently, in the first episode of the new season
which
of Kevin
started
Can
already?
Wait, I can't tell by the story if it was already on last night or if it's about to air. Because the tense keeps changing within the story.
Oh, boy.
So they've said that they've shot this episode, and I'm guessing it must have just aired last night because the season for most shows is starting now.
Last night? Oh, yeah, maybe it was.
Could have been on last night, right?
This Is Us debuts
tonight. Tonight.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Too nervous.
So now, is Leah Remini going to replace some of our favorite characters on This Is Us also, or is that just a one-time thing?
No. But
she's not going to play Randall, is she, on the show? I hope not.
No, God forbid.
So everybody was speculating, well, that's going to be awkward because this is a comedy and you have his wife. They're a relatively young couple, so they're killing her off. So this is going to be tough to sell as a comedy.
That's what they did report. And I don't know why it's a comedy. I don't, living with Kevin James's character, probably, you know, she rolls her eyes a lot. So why didn't they just have her leave him or something?
Right.
I mean,
an aneurysm from rolling her eyes so much that it created an aneurysm. That's funny.
Are you writing for the show now?
Yeah. I've just been put on staff.
Because we were kind of surprised when they said that they were going to kill her off. It's just a nice family. They
could have written her off.
Right?
They could have coexisted. Maybe, you know, like most shows where the show is divided between home life and work life. When he's at home, he's sparring with his wife,
right.
And at work, he's got Leah Remini to spar with.
And then they'd focus more on work.
That's easy. No, they decided they're killing off the character of Donna. So how do they address this? How do they possibly make this palatable and funny in a sitcom to have a young wife and a mom, right? Just die.
Yeah, there are three kids.
Yeah. So here's how they did it. Can I say this? Or is
All right,
it
this is spoiler
I gotta
alert.
I got to say spoiler alert for people who have not seen the episode yet.
But you can go ahead and spoil it. I don't care. I'll still watch it.
All right. It was revealed earlier this year that the character of Donna was out. The casual mentioning of her death in the season premiere was still a bit of a shock. See, that's what I mean. It sounds like this aired already, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it? All right. As Kevin sorted through the mail, he came across a postcard for his wife, Donna, that said, "Haven't seen you. We miss you," which leads his daughter to say, "I will call them right now. It's been over a year since she died. They shouldn't still be sending this," to which Kevin responds, "Thank you. Oh, but don't throw it out, because on the bottom there's a coupon for a free kung fu lesson."
Okay, that's pretty funny, but that's so mean.
It almost reminds me of on Seinfeld when George Costanza's fiance Susan died, and they just kind of quickly threw it away and moved on as though it was no big deal. But in real life, if somebody that close to you dies, I know they threw in the disclaimer, it's been a year since she died, so, but still, a kid talking about his mom dying, that'd be a hard thing.
Well, how did Seinfeld get away with it then?
I think with Seinfeld, because it was such a, it really was a dark show.
And it wasn't a major character either. I mean, I know Susan got some screen time, but
right,
it wasn't one of them.
Right. And behind the scenes, I'm sure you heard the behind the scenes that the people who created Seinfeld just really didn't like the actress. She was always making suggestions that they didn't like. So somebody on the show one day just said, "We ought to kill her off." And Larry David's eyes got really big and he goes, "Yeah, we ought to kill her off." And then they killed her off.
But at least she died in a comedic way.
Right, right.
See,
it was
this
from
is,
licking envelopes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there was some poisonous envelopes that got out by mistake. And
right.
When George went to warn her, she had already licked them
all.
I don't feel well.
Right.
That was funny.
Right. Now, sometimes on a show, and I can give you so many examples of this, there will be a character, like, well, the Brady Bunch, right? We don't know what happened to the original Mrs. Brady or to Florence Henderson's original husband. That was just up to us, although they never showed them. That happened pre-show.
Yeah, but I want to know. I think they should get the show back together and have the stars be the original Mrs. Brady and Carol's original husband.
Florence Henderson's dead, so the odds of this are slim. Robert Reed is dead, too, so I'm not positive we can pull this off. And Alice is dead. So if you've got, you know the tic-tac-toe board at the beginning? There's your tic-tac-toe.
Except there are lines through and X's, more X's on I's.
Yes, sadly.
See, but I never questioned it. I mean, I guess I always said, what happened to them?
Right.
But it wasn't a central part of the story. But now that I'm an adult,
yeah,
I need to know why.
Yeah,
I need to know. You know me, I'm the queen of the backstory.
Yeah.
I want to know what happened to them.
Sometimes I'd wonder, maybe they got a divorce. But even if they got a divorce, like, you'd show up every once in a while to see your kids.
No, they both died.
They both did die for sure? Yeah, I guess that was addressed in the movie, in the Brady Bunch movie. They talked about it a little bit.
I seem to think it was on the show, too.
Did they? I don't remember that. They said that they had died?
I seem to think this was, you know, I don't remember now, but
maybe
I just remember
Harvey Klinger, the bug guy might have killed them, maybe.
Both of them? What are the odds?
Slim, but I'm not saying he couldn't do it. Maybe he was coming up with some kind of special chemical for bugs, and they somehow got loose in the control room. Maybe.
I seem to remember Carol saying, you know, I met this guy, and, you know, we're going to get married, and you're going to have three new brothers. It's
and
not a
replacement.
And
your dad died.
No.
Did I mention you? You
they
know what I forgot
known.
To tell you guys? Your dad died. I forgot. I should have opened with that. I remember that scene.
I seem to remember them saying something, you know, her saying something like, it's not going to replace dad.
Oh,
and then the sad Brady
music. That he died, that could still infer either a divorce.
Divorce wasn't popular then.
Oh.
And I think they mentioned she was a widow and widower. I think Alice said that, and then the sad Brady Bunch music started.
Yeah.
I think I remember it. And whose dog was Tiger? Was it?
That was Mike's and his family. So
in the
union, Mike brought both the housekeeper, Alice, and Tiger the dog.
Because, see, he needed the housekeeper because his wife died.
So she wasn't the housekeeper when the original Mrs. Brady was alive? Did she come in?
I don't think so, because the original Mrs. Brady would have just handled everything.
Yeah.
But then he couldn't care for three boys and work as an architect and the dog Tiger.
Did they need a housekeeper for? I mean, that house wasn't
a
palace.
It was a big house. Did they have a finished basement?
No, I don't think they did. They had the den where they had family meetings.
Right.
Anytime there was some sort of a conflict.
Marsha, your
family.
Bracelet.
Right. And when we bought our house, I looked around thinking we should have a family meeting room, a family den for when there's problems, but we didn't have one. So because of that, we didn't have any problems.
Judy Pylak might remember. Do you remember if they addressed Mr. or Mrs. Brady, the previous ones, that they had died? They were definitely not divorced.
Before Mike and Carol married.
I always assumed they were widow and widower.
Yeah. Right. I think that was brought up.
But they never talked, like, in real life.
Yes.
I see.
Didn't they go back and do a wedding scene, or did they start? Was that the first one?
The first episode was their wedding.
Okay. I think they did address it there.
They did?
The kid said something.
Like, you'll never be my real dad. They do that.
That's very lifelike.
Right. It would be. Because I don't remember them ever addressing.
I think it was brought up.
I feel like it was.
But all right. But then in life.
And Alice handled the question.
See? I told you. Alice did.
I swear to God. I think it was Alice.
But at some point. All right. So the Brady Bunch was on for like 8 or 9 years, right?
Eight glorious years.
Wouldn't there have been a moment or two where they would have remembered their fallen father or mother? Like,
they
were never mentioned again, ever.
They had the perfect Stepford parents. Why would they remember their real parents?
Wait, Step or Stepford?
Stepford.
I meant, like, because they were just too perfect.
I just, at some point, would have just broken down and going, oh, this plant always reminds me of mom,
right,
or dad.
I miss mom or dad.
Yeah, nope, it never came up. No. No mention after that first episode.
They were very busy with their antics.
Right.
No,
that's true. That's true.
All right, so back to the Kevin Can Wait.
Yes.
Spoiler alert, if you watch the show, which I do, but I'm okay to have it spoiled. Did they tell you how it happens?
No, they at no point in the episode discuss exactly how the character of Donna passed away, only that she had died and that a year had passed, and that's it. So people are upset saying, it's a sitcom. Much like yourself, Wendy, they want some sort of resolution. They want to know exactly what happened to take the life of this young woman.
Are you talking about the Brady Bunch, though?
No, this is Kevin Can Wait.
Kevin Can Wait.
Kevin James.
Because his wife from last night is no longer on the show. She died, but they won't tell us how.
Not in real life.
No.
Her character.
Yeah, the actress is still with
us. And I feel bad, but she was not next to him, and she might be a great actress, but next to him, they didn't have good chemistry.
Right.
They just really didn't.
So we don't know how she died. We don't know how Milo Ventimiglia dies on This Is Us.
And we won't find out, I'm sure. That debuts this season. The new season debuts tonight.
The guy who plays Randall was on Stephen Colbert last night.
Sterling K. Brown,
yeah,
I believe.
Sterling K. Brown. And Stephen Colbert asked him if we'll find out early on how he died. And he goes, we're going to play it out throughout the season. So he said there will be a clue tonight and then another clue coming, but
we won't know till the last episode of the season, and they may wait till next season.
I think they'll probably make us wait another year.
It works.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Judy will give you the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. I don't want to dwell on it, but now my head is swimming with either information or misinformation. When Nicholas Calicentro died from he was coach on Cheers, I'm trying to remember. I think they just came back with the new season, so this would have been season 2,
because
he was only coach for the 1 year, the first year. So didn't they, at the beginning, just talk about how sad it was that coach had died? Not go into specifics, but that somebody was coming in to apply for the job, and that ended up being Woody Harrelson?
Yeah, and I seem to remember, and I could be wrong, because sometimes I add things, but I almost thought they were talking about his service, and it was a great service.
Right.
Something like that. And
they
then
had just come from his funeral,
right,
or something.
And then the picture of him was there, and it's like, well, you know, it's terrible, but we have to move on, and that's...
Yeah.
Everyone needs closure, including viewers.
Well, right.
That's true.
And that's why I feel like, you know, Kevin Can Wait is missing the boat here. That's a funny little joke when a postcard comes addressed to the dead wife, and he's like, you know, the daughter says, I'm going to tell people that she passed away, and Kevin James says, well, hang on to that because there's a coupon on the bottom.
For a kung fu lesson.
And that's funny.
It's very funny.
But, I mean, I feel like they owe more to a listener. Like, that could be even the first way to bring it up, but then later in the show, you have to have a kid or somebody say, you know, I really miss mom.
Do it in the first show
and
get it
over
with. Because you don't want it to linger, of course.
Right.
But, yeah, you've got to tie up those loose ends.
Remember on 8 is Enough, when the first Bradford mom died, So then they addressed it a couple of times throughout the season.
And that was John Travolta's real-life girlfriend at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, Diana Hyland
right,
was her name.
Right, before Betty Buckley came in.
Because they were in the movie The Boy in the Plastic Bubble together.
That was such a good movie.
Very good movie.
I wish I had a bubble.
Yeah.
And, you kind of live in one now, so I think you're doing pretty well.
Yeah, I kind of do.
So Diana Hyland dies, and then they brought in Betty Buckley slowly because Tom Bradford admitted, I can't handle a family this size on my own, and he started dating this other character.
Always the man, can't handle things
without
the woman.
Why did they kill off the first mom?
She died,
well,
in,
she
real
died
life,
in real
life.
Oh,
cancer.
She died in real life. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of odd.
But they always have an option. If you're running a TV show, if one of your actors dies, you can either... You can write them off and say they died, or you can recast it.
Well, duh, those are the only options.
Well, you could also...
And did the woman die in real life in this show you're talking about, Kevin?
No.
Right, which I've never
no.
seen. Oh, okay.
Just her career.
But, like, wouldn't you... I guess you can't really address it, although they did on Roseanne with the two Beckys. They did address it from time to time.
No one died, though.
No one died there. But the one that always was strange to me, like, the two Darrens was weird. Right, and there were on Bewitched. There were a couple of Mrs. Kravitzes. Remember?
Oh yeah, yeah. I like the original.
Kravitz. Yeah, me too. But the strangest one was on the Flintstones.
Oh my God!
The character Joe Rockhead. Oh, Mr. Slate was actually the one. There's two Mr. Slates. There's like a short, kind of squat, dumpy Mr. Slate, and then there's a taller Mr. Slate.
Okay, why in the world would you change the character in a cartoon?
It's not like that actor had some sort of a contract squabble with Hanna-Barbera where he goes, that's it, I'm leaving, try replacing
Maybe
me.
He did.
Yeah, but even the voice, you'd still make the character look the same.
Right.
That is genius, the more I think about it.
I never understood, like, as a kid, it bothered me like crazy, because I saw it on other shows where they'd recast the part midway through a run, but not on a cartoon.
That's so weird, and I think when that happens, and then I'm just in my brain, it's all spinning around right now, ADHD at its finest. Chuck from the Happy Days.
Mm-hmm. Gavin O'Herlihy.
Bless you.
That's who played Chuck. That's who played Chuck the longest. There were two or maybe even three Chucks.
Why were there two or three Chucks only to have him never mentioned again?
I don't know.
Just to have us talk about the show 30, 40, 50 years later?
I can't figure it out. But I've told you that Ron Howard, because he felt bad about Gavin O'Herlihy getting cut out of Happy Days, he's in almost every one of Ron Howard's movies.
Almost doesn't count.
He's not in all of them. That honor goes to Clint Howard, who is, by the way, in the new Ron Howard.
I know,
Howard
I stuff. Told you.
He's got a nice part in that.
In the Star Wars movie,
yeah. All right, so he's Gentle Ben Kenobi. He's Obi-Wan's brother, Gentle Ben Kenobi. So I don't know.
But the cartoon thing makes me funny. Was Bewitched on before the Flintstones?
Same time.
Because maybe they did it just...
No, the reason they did it was Hanna-Barbera. Remember at the very beginning of Bewitched, the animation that goes through the credits?
Yeah.
All right. So that was handled by Hanna-Barbera, who did the Flintstones. So that was the tie-in. That's why there was a crossover episode with the Flintstones and the Bewitched cast, because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why would a modern-day witch go back to prehistoric times?
No, I know, but that's probably why, especially if it's the same company, since they switched Darren's on a really popular show, they did it as like a...
Oh, to pay tribute?
Kind of.
That kind of a move?
Because especially that's the same company. Now I really believe they did it intentionally because of Bewitched.
Yeah.
Do you have to go somewhere?
I do.
This isn't as exciting
Judy,
as you'd like it to be.
What's more important than this discussion right now?
Boy, when she's into it, she stays. When she's born, she's looking around at the clock.
I know. Like a caged rat.
God, why don't you just call me out on the radio?
Could it be more obvious?
How do I get out of this little podcast thing? There's real news going on in the world.
You're free to walk out anytime.
I know, but I always want to stay.
No.
I thought she was going to chew her arm off.
Wow. You know what you reminded me of? You know that movie where James Franco gets his arm stuck in the rock? That's what Judy looked like. Like your arm was stuck in a rock and your life was at stake.
It was. She started chewing it off.
I know.
I can't bring the clock with me and put it in front of me so I have to turn around.
Oh,
or next
Judy.
Time I'll just be like...
No, just you can go.
Go ahead. We'll wait for you to get out so we can make fun of you.
I will listen on the podcast.
No, we won't make fun. I promise we won't make fun.
I will not be back.
No, we won't make fun.
Not that it was distracting in any way, shape, or form.
She's gasping for breath. Breathe. Gotta get to newsroom fast. Can't do podcast.
I don't even really need to. No, I'm going to stay now.
No.
No, we don't want to.
No, you have to go.
It was like Linda Blair in The Exorcist.
Wow.
You do? Why are you? Why did you even notice you were talking?
Because I was distracting.
Sorry.
That's all right.
She's whipping her head around trying to look at the clock. You know.
You can go.
I was thinking Send I could Domini wait.
Yes, he stays. Exactly. Domini stays the whole segment. But
he
if you
stayed an hour after we left.
Yeah. He helped us vacuum and the show was over. One. It was so nice of him.
Oh, you make me cry. That is so funny.
You make me laugh, which is why I come in here every day.
And try to get out of here.
Okay, I was just seeing if I could wait. And I can't. I can wait.
You're sure?
Oh, God, another mess.
But the
by.
Fact that you brought up that Bewitched and Hanna-Barbera was the same, I'm sure they did that as a little shout-out. Because popular TV show changes Darren, which is a major character.
I can't find any reference to it. I've looked on certain places on the internet where cartoon geekery goes on, and no one can ever explain why there's two Mr. Slates. Like, for every other show where they switch characters, there's something that makes sense. But with this, it's like the animators got tired of drawing one Mr.
Slate. But I'm
Slate.
Confused. Did they? Was it a new voice?
No. Same actor did the voice.
Well, who would even know?
That's because one was short and stocky and one was...
Oh, they actually changed
yes,
the
you know how character.
On, you know how on cartoon shows you have people who are kind of diminutive, like Barney Rubble? He's really a very... right. He's a very short character, and there's other people of his height. So that Mr. Slate was Barney Rubble size, but then the other one was tall and thin and balding. You don't recast a character part like that on a cartoon.
I don't even remember that happening.
Yeah, it was subtle.
Yeah.
Only
subtle,
I noticed.
Subtle as a brick.
Yeah.
Or a stone on that show.
They also recast, on All in the Family, they recast Lionel because Mike Evans didn't want to play the part anymore. And he may have come back for the last season. You know Lionel Jefferson, their neighbor? Okay. So he was friends with Mike and Gloria.
That was George Jefferson and Wheezy's son.
It was, right. It was the son, but in the very beginning, what's the actor's name who played George Jefferson? We used to have him on every once in a while.
Sherman Hemsley.
Sherman Hemsley. All right. So he was doing some kind of a show, and he wasn't ready to be in the first few episodes. So they had, I think Roscoe Lee Brown was the guy who played him, or his brother. Maybe they made it his brother. So for a few episodes, they alluded to George, but he wasn't there. But then, yeah, Mike Evans decided he didn't want to play the part anymore. And I think he was replaced by another actor whose last name was Evans, but no relation. Are you impressed that I know this, Jude?
Wow.
Why aren't you writing a book about this information?
Oh, I'm writing a book, but it's not about any of this. It's about the hostile work environment that I have to visit every day.
I didn't realize they changed Mr. Slates, and now I have to find the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you meant his voice, not his
No, I'm
image.
Pretty sure the same actor who did the original Mr. Slate played the second Mr. Slate. But
that's what I mean. Even if the voice actor who's doing a particular cartoon, like Casey Kasem, dies, Shaggy still looks the same. They don't all of a sudden... That's why I find it so funny.
Right.
That they just all of a sudden changed characters. It has to be a shout out to Bewitched.
Well, we just learned with Shaggy on Scooby-Doo, after Casey Kasem died, the part went to Matthew Lillard, who played Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo movies.
He now does like the voice acting.
Yeah, he does all the, like, for this new video that just came out.
And he sounds the same, right? Pretty much.
It's close,
but you
can tell it's not.
It's close. It's like remember when Jim Henson died and they had, I think they had, was it Jim Henson's son, Brian, who did the voice for a while? One of Jim Henson's kids did the voice and it wasn't good. And Mel Blanc the same way. Mel Blanc did all those Warner Brother characters so perfectly. And then his son, Noel, came in and replaced him and he was awful.
He was shooting blanks?
If you could say that, yeah. You did say that.
Right out loud on the radio.
Well, no, if he couldn't keep up, that's... Listen, you got somebody like Mel Blanc. And,
one of the best of all time. Nobody could replace him.
Son or not.
Yeah.
It doesn't make you a great... I mean, you get a little bit of your parents' talent, but it's not going to make you Mel Blanc Jr.
It was so sad because Mel Blanc had a certain energy to each one of his characters, and his son just couldn't pull it off. And you wanted it to work, but it just didn't work. I think finally they just gave up and gave it to different actors.
Why aren't you doing a cartoon voice anywhere?
I'm doing a cartoon voice on our show. I do 3 hours
How
a day.
How do you
of
really
it.
Talk?
More like this. This is my real voice.
See, you would have missed that if you left.
Yeah.
So glad I stayed.
Yeah.
She's bored again, Bill. Do
I'm sorry. I'll do something.
I am not. bed. I would definitely make up an excuse if I was bored.
Do we have time? I don't know if we have time to do this. We wanted to do this earlier. These are the phrases that are trademarked. And I can't remember what. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago about the guy who's. He does this for fights. It's the guy who says, "Now I don't know if legally
Michael
I
Buffer.
Can say this." Michael Buffer, yeah.
Yeah, let's get ready to.
Let's get ready to.
You can say it.
I can.
For the you can't use it in a commercial to make money. But let's get ready to rumble.
Right. Famed wrestling and boxer announcer Michael Buffer must have known his catchphrase would take off when he started using it in the 80s. Since having it trademarked in 1992, he's reportedly made $400 million by licensing the phrase to be used in movies, commercials, and video games.
By licensing the phrase. So
yeah.
You can't use it in any... You could say it on the air.
We can say it casually... But I can't use it. I can't write a book called Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
No, unless you pay him.
Right, right.
And why would yours be called that?
Can I write a book?
$400 million.
Can I write a book about bees and call it Let's Get Ready to Bumble? Or is that too close?
Who would buy it?
No, I'm not, I don't do it for the money. I just do it for the sport. yeah, that's what he's made so far, $400 million. And people have said... Like on TV shows, don't even kiddingly say it because he's very litigious.
Oh, that's probably why he has $400 million.
Yeah, but guys, again, like Coke is trademarked. I can say I'm having a Coke.
A product name is, but a phrase is much more...
Yeah, but if you use it in a commercial or a movie or a song, yeah, you have to pay him. But to mention it, if he heard this, Michael Buffer, if you heard this, you can call us at 312-235-2525, but you have to flip the phones over.
But
Kevin.
What about happy birthday?
Well, that became public domain.
But right, when it wasn't, you couldn't sing it ever on the radio.
But they would change it like restaurants would change the way it was sung so that it didn't have the same kind of chords that you'd normally have, and then they would get around it that way.
But I'm saying, so why can't you say, so maybe you can't say, maybe it's the way he says it too.
Like even Super Bowl, you can say Super Bowl, but if you like, hey, we're having a Super Bowl party at a bar,
you have to say big game.
Right.
Although somebody said last year that has now been trademarked also.
Why didn't I think of that?
I know.
I was thinking, why didn't someone think of doing the Rumble one in between those years where he didn't do it?
Oh,
so he started saying it
in 92.
But
he trademarked it in 92.
He started saying it in the 80s.
Yeah.
Someone could have swept right in and done it.
The phrase three-peat. Well, this is famous now, right?
Who did that?
That's Pat Riley.
Oh, that's right.
The coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. He was savvy enough to copyright the phrase three-peat. So any kind of a T-shirt, like whenever a team does win two championships and a third one is coming, and they go, we want to put T-shirts with the logo on it. He goes, yeah, fine. Pay me.
What year was that?
I know it was in the 80s, but it doesn't... Oh, 1988.
I said it before that.
Did you? Why didn't you trademark it? Oh, no. To a guy named Pete. Wendy used to date this guy named Pete. Three-time Pete, they call him.
And his response, three?
Right. I'm tired. Paris.
I'm sleep Pete.
I should copyright
Jump
that.
Jump on that one. Paris Hilton has copyrighted a phrase, Wendy.
Oh, I can't remember it.
That's hot.
Yeah, that's stupid.
Paris Hilton and Paris Hilton both made their catchphrase famous on the reality show The Simple Life and later acquired three trademarks for it, one for use in men's and women's clothing. There's a clothing line called That's Hot. One for electronic devices. Really?
Again, that's stupid.
And one for alcoholic beverages. In 2007, she sued Hallmark for putting the expression and her image on a greeting card, and she won the lawsuit.
What the heck is Hallmark thinking? Have they officially run out of ideas where they have to put her image and that's hot on it?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Well, but they do that. I wonder if they have to ask. Like, you know, they'll put the presidents on there and say something.
I can't remember which one of my friends who's an actor, although he must have given them consent. Terry and I were in a card shop one time, and a friend of mine's face was on a card, but I guess he must have consented to that.
Or it wasn't trademarked. Maybe that's why, because hers was trademarked.
Oh,
when they
maybe.
Put Obama on there saying whatever, what did he used to say?
But I think the president becomes almost like public domain.
Yeah, some of those are true.
I think so.
But you know that old lady, the crabby old lady on all the Hallmark cards?
She better be getting paid.
That was me. They haven't paid me a cent.
That's Wendy in the future.
I don't know how they did it.
With my stockings down.
John McEnroe has a catchphrase that has been copyrighted. In
a few?
You've got to be kidding me.
You cannot be serious.
You cannot be serious.
He would yell that at judges all the time, line judges. You cannot be serious.
How can you trademark that?
I guess he could make the argument that it is more popular because of him, that people said it prior to him, but it was his phrase, and he said it when I played tennis with him a couple months ago, he said it, because people get disappointed if he doesn't say it.
You played with him?
Well, I played at the same time as him. I played near him.
You're cute the way you
said
that.
Were you shagging his balls and stuff?
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Let's Roll was copyrighted, trademarked. That's the Todd Beamer phrase from September 11th.
Oh, yeah.
So this was posthumously. Yeah, by his wife.
And she had a lot of paraphernalia and stuff.
And I know a lot of the money went to charities and things. So in that case, it was done well.
That, you know, and people had been saying that for years, but.
But nowhere near as odd. Like when he said it, or was. I can't remember how they proved that he said. Were they able to prove it? Do they have?
He called his wife from that plane to say, you know, we are going. This was out of Shanksville.
But how did she hear "Let's Roll"? Maybe she heard it.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. If I'm doing that and I'm going to die, I would probably leave my phone on.
Oh, maybe.
And he's like, "Come on, guys, let's
just
roll."
Just have a record of it.
Yeah, and just because, how could you hang up with your wife
knowing you're.
On the other hand, who wants to hear that?
Yeah, that would
we're
be
gonna
hard.
Take, we're not going to, you know what I mean?
I know it's going to end badly. I would want to hear his last second. Mm. I really would.
Mm. Here, let me give you guys one more. I just want to see if either of you can identify who copyrighted this phrase or this word. Jiah. J-E-A-H. Jiah. Who copyrighted that?
Jiah.
Jerry Seinfeld?
No.
Keanu Reeves?
Nope.
That was a good guess.
That is a pretty good guess.
Whoa! Did he copyright that?
No, he has not copywritten anything.
Yeah.
Judy Dench.
No, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Nope. Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte trademarked his inventive catchphrase in 2012. What does it mean? Well, in a 2009 YouTube video, Lochte explains it. It means like almost everything, like happy, like if you have a good swim, you say yeah. If I didn't like him before this, I still don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he copyrighted that. So every time you or any of us say this, and I say it all the time, a day doesn't go by, an hour doesn't go by if I don't say this, we have to send him some money.
We don't.
50 cents.
Although you should give up your t-shirt that you've been wearing.
Yeah, I'm going to stop wearing it.
Because that you do owe money for.
And my smoking jacket that says it too.
I'm going to trademark
Do that. It's not a bad idea.
I would be a millionaire.
Judy, did you stay or did you go? I can't remember.
I left. I left quite a while ago.
Yeah, I stayed.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for sticking around.
I can't say that.
Wendy,
absolutely.
You come back tomorrow?
Yeah, now she's all nice about it.
I will be back tomorrow.
All right.
And I will. I'm taking that clock down on my way out.
That's
Don't
fair.
Don't you have a watch or a phone you can look at for the time?
I did. I even had my phone today, and I didn't. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
That was body language. I'm going to spin my head around like Linda Blair.
You have to stay tomorrow. It's Kevin's last day.
I know.
And he said that's all he wants.
It makes me very sad.
That's all he wants.
Stop bringing it up. I can't discuss it.
All right.
I can't discuss it tomorrow either.
Nothing
I hate people who will go on a new adventure.
Trying to better himself. All right,
you and I are sad for different reasons, can I tell you? You're jealous.
I'm very happy for him. I am jealous.
I am too, but
happy
it's like
and
our
jealous.
Son, Bill.
Yeah,
this
it's like
is
our
really
son.
Hard.
Yeah, I feel bad for you guys tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't even let Michael go away to college. Now Kevin's going away to L.A.
Is it going to be a cry fest in here tomorrow?
There will be some crying.
Mm.
It'll be very tearful.
That'll be it, because that this minute on the show will be it.
Yep. That's it.
Stop saying that.
It's over,
we
got to
go.
Wendy.
We'll come back tomorrow for one last blast.
I'm
Stick
not
around.
Coming in tomorrow. Bill I can't
and Wendy,
handle it.
WGN.
I can't get over Mr. Slate being changed. That just cracks me up.
The changing of the slates, Wendy. One of the most beautiful moments in cartoon history. That's it for today's show, boys and girls. Hope you enjoyed yourself. Tomorrow, Kevin's last show. It will be emotional. That's all I'm going to say.
I can't come in.
You got to come in. It's Kevin's last show.
I'm actually going to be sick tomorrow. You guys don't mind.
You're going to be sick tomorrow, Kevin?
Wouldn't that be like the... Wouldn't that be a hoot if he called in sick?
Kevin is being replaced by Leah Remini on our show.
Well, I don't know how to use my lips.
That'll be the first few weeks, as we'll teach Leah Remini how to use her new lips. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Tune in tomorrow for more crazy hijinks by Wendy.
I'll see you, Bill.